Good morning. I'm Lisa, and I'm not going to offer you any models posing like Marines, and I'm not going to rise up out of the water holding some weird futuristic weapon, although that would have been a really cool way to start a sermon on being armed and dangerous. I might be able to offer you a top secret hidden run mission in unknown territory. Am I right, Larry? Right. And with a little help from my friends, I could probably arrange some ridiculously dramatic music playing in the background. But I definitely can't do the cool American voice. And I don't even speak Swedish, so I can't translate the end of that video. I'm going to assume that what they're saying is it's a great thing to sign up to be in the Swedish Defence Force. What I'm sure of is that being armed and dangerous in any defence force means being ready to serve. I am extremely grateful to those who serve in our defence force and risk their lives to protect our freedom. I'm also extremely grateful that they're well trained and equipped to serve. I don't know too much about it, but I am sure that there is a great deal of training, an investment that goes into our soldiers before they are sent off to battle. I'm sure they undergo extensive, repetitive exercises before they're deployed to the front line. But we as Christians, as God's people and soldiers fighting a great spiritual battle to defend God's creation, we don't get that all the time. We don't get the constant training, the equipping, the extensive exercises to make us armed and dangerous to the enemy. Sometimes it can just feel like the enemy catches us off guard, not prepared. So I think that this is a really good series. And I think we're doing this armed and dangerous series over the coming weeks so that we will learn some spiritual disciplines, some exercises that will help us defend against the devil's schemes and shape us into people who are ready to serve, armed, equipped, deployed, and dangerous. So today's spiritual discipline is about service. Now, I actually chose that video, the Swedish Defence Service video, because there's hundreds, literally hundreds of these ads out there. But I chose that one because it makes fun of the fact that we could use all the means necessary to make serving on any team look attractive and cool and fun. But reality is, serving takes all kinds of people with all kinds of skills on all kinds of levels. Service is for everyone. And sometimes it means getting our hands dirty, or perhaps even washing some dirty feet. So earlier we watched a very different video of a group of men eating a meal together. And one man demonstrates a very different kind of service. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in that room of 26 smelly, dirty, male feet all in one room together? My gosh, after 1 hour of training, my son comes home and he gives me his smelly, dirty socks and I can barely stand it. And in Jesus' day, they didn't sit at the table and have their feet underneath where they're sitting on chairs at the table like we do now. They were reclined. As you can see in the video, they're reclining. And their feet, like one person sitting next to each other, their feet are like in the next person's face almost. Crazy. I have to say, it's no wonder Jesus got out that bowl of water. It does make me wonder why no one else thought of it. But perhaps that was because washing someone's feet was a task for the most unimportant, youngest, inexperienced servant of the house. Their cultural norm forced their slaves to surrender to these humiliating tasks. But these days, if you're anything like me, you pay good money for a good foot wash, am I right? I'm not alone, surely. I remember my very first pedicure experience, letting someone not just touch my feet, but actually wash them. It was frightening. And then she got out this scraper thing, and I'm like, what are you going to do with that? And then she starts scraping the dead skin off my heel, and I was like, oh, the pain. Not to mention, that is gross. So gross. But then comes the foot scrub, and if you're lucky, you get a massage as well. And when you walk out of that foot spa, it's like you're walking on clouds. And this explains why I go back repeatedly for a foot washing. I'm not sure that Jesus had the time to massage 24 feet in the upper room that night, so I doubt that the disciples would have been feeling like they were walking on clouds. But the initial reaction on their faces when Jesus starts washing their feet, that would have been priceless. If you'd like to have a look at this passage in your Bibles, it's found in John's Gospel, John chapter 13, verses 1 to 20. Verse 6 says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, you do not know now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And Peter said to him, you'll never wash my feet. Now, I probably would have reacted the same way as Simon Peter. Really, Lord, you are going to wash my feet? The shame of my dirty, smelly feet being washed by the man who's made the lame walk and the blind see. Maybe Peter was feeling ashamed of his smelly feet. Maybe he felt that he should be washing Jesus' feet because he considered Jesus to be more important than himself. But whatever the reason, Simon Peter needed to have his feet washed. Why? So he would understand that the act of Jesus washing his feet was not about him or his feet at all. It was about those around him and those he would serve in the future, so that he would learn from Jesus how to serve armed and dangerous to the enemy. So I can hear you asking this question, how can someone washing your feet make us armed and dangerous to the enemy? That's a really good question, and I heard you asking it. Somebody said it, I'm sure. The answer to that question is connection. The enemy's game plan is to convince us that we should take care of our own feet and not worry about anyone else's smelly, dirty feet. They can look after themselves. The devil dishes out this idea that self-service really satisfies. I have to say, good customer service is really hard to find these days. But when we do come across it, it is like a smack in the face with a fresh cool breeze on a hot summer's day. I recently had to call one of our government services for some help on a personal matter. I'd already tried to do the self-service method, logging in, looking online to see if I could fix this problem myself. I was afraid of losing half a day sitting on hold, listening to the hold music. But instead, I had to call that customer number and I had to give them my customer reference number, and then I had to select to talk to a customer representative. And the woman who answered was my own personal caseworker. She knew my personal circumstances. She had my file in front of her. She helped me with my query. She asked me to provide some information, and then she gave me an extension on the time period that I had to get that information back to her. I've got to say, it was a real pleasant surprise. I felt this real connection. She even made me feel like she understood my circumstance and genuinely wanted to help me solve this. Why was I so surprised at receiving great service from a service provider? That doesn't happen very often, does it? It doesn't happen as often as it should. And the enemy has inflicted his self-service attitude on us like a plague. Peter's response to Jesus washing his feet is no different, until Jesus points out that this act of service is, in fact, what keeps their relationship alive. He says, "Unless I wash your feet, you will have no share with me." In the video, he says, "You will no longer be my disciple. You will have no share with me." So Jesus is referring to the necessity here of regular spiritual cleansing to remain in fellowship with him. He didn't say, "You will have no part in me," which would imply that Peter lacked salvation. But instead, he uses the word "with," meaning Peter would have no communion or fellowship or connection with him. And if we are to remain in fellowship with God, we all need this constant cleansing and renewal of God's grace and his mercy. The devil's game plan is for us to live isolated, separated from others, and especially from God. But God's game plan is to teach us mercy, humility, and grace. He wants us to kill the enemy with so much kindness, the devil doesn't know whether he's coming or going. God's game plan is for us to do what Jesus did. Jesus is our example, so we would know how to be human and serve like a saint. We can be both. In verses 13 and 15, Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for this is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done for you." I think this is both metaphorically and sometimes literally, because this is how we're to serve: sacrificially, without self-seeking or shame, but always offering mercy and grace. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, "The Son of Man came to serve, not be served." This was always Jesus' intention to teach us about service. I really love this quote. "The Christian discipline of service is the way the world discovers the love of God. We are the way God blesses the earth." Service is all about overcoming or even sacrificing ourselves, our inhibitions, our fears of failure, our comfort zones, our perceptions of our own inadequacies, so that we can serve armed and dangerous, bringing peace, hope, freedom, transformation, and the love of Jesus to others. Also, we will never really serve others unless we see that the needs of our neighbours are as real and important as our own. In other words, placing ourselves in someone else's smelly shoes, just like the customer service rep did for me. In Philippians 2:4, it says, "Look, each of you, not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." When we practice this free, uncoerced choice in which we place the good of others above ourselves, we serve armed and dangerous to the enemy. Hebrews 13:1, "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." God shows us. God leads us to opportunities without us even knowing it. Verse 2 says, "Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them." those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. God always plants these seeds of empathy and compassion towards others within us. But I believe that it's up to us to nurture that compassion into service of some kind. We are armed and dangerous when we're willing to serve whenever, wherever, and whoever, doing whatever with the love of Jesus. So I believe that this story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet demonstrates for us today a couple of ways that we can be armed and dangerous and ready to serve. The first one is we can offer reactionary service. We can be skilled in the very basic skills. Every single one of us, here in this room, watching online, wherever we are, we can operate some of these very basic skills, like washing stinky, dirty feet. Sometimes this kind of service is filling a need or filling a practical need. This reminds me of the words of our founder, William Booth, who always offered soup, soap, then salvation. That's how he trained his soldiers. Very practical. So here's some routine exercises we can put into place. We can pray. Really, this is a no-brainer. Am I right? This is actually something that we all can do, we all should do. I think sometimes we can really feel that we're inadequate to serve, or we let our disabilities even make us think that we can't do it. But God knows us. God knows what we're capable of. Sometimes we don't want to serve, or we know that what God's asking us to do is going to be risky or even hard. Or we think, well, what will people think of me? But again, God knows us. He knows what we're capable of. And if all we can do is start with prayer, then that's what we should do. And I want to tell you, God never leaves it there. He always gives us something to do. That's when obedience comes into it. Obey, another basic skill that we should apply. Every act of obedience, from forced labour to worship, from taking out the rubbish to singing God's praises. This reminds me of a story that is in our Old Testament of a boy named Samuel. Now, in the dead of night, Samuel hears his name being called out by his master. And so he gets up out of bed and he goes into the next room and he says, "Master, I'm here. Eli, what is it that you want?" And Eli says to him, "That wasn't me. I wasn't calling out to you. Go back to bed." This happens a couple of times back and forth. And then finally, Eli says to Samuel, "Next time you hear your name, say, 'Lord, your servant is listening.'" I want to encourage you to do that, because God still calls us by name. How often do we hear his call or recognize his voice or volunteer our ears to his plea or obey? Another great basic skill is just putting your hand up. Do it with me now. Come on. See, look, we have a room of people who are capable of putting their hand up. You're all on record now, by the way. No, just kidding. It is so easy to just put your hand up. Sometimes we think, oh, I've got to think this through. I have to weigh the good, you know, the options here. I have to really consider what I'm doing, what I'm putting my hand up for. Well, sometimes it's okay to just put your hand up and work that stuff out later. I love that we do the Red Shield Appeal. I love that we have that as part of our way that we serve our community. Because to me, it's not just asking people for money to support what we do as a church, as an organisation, but it's about us connecting with our local community. Every door that we knock on, every face that we see, it's a connection. So simply putting your hand up to volunteer for the Red Shield Appeal Huge blessings, people. Huge blessings. I wanted to share with you this because I received this message last Saturday when I was preparing. This text message came through to me, and I have permission to share it, so it's okay. It says, "Dragged ourselves into the shop this morning." That's the Salvo's family store. "But gee, we've been blessed with so many conversations with people. Think the Lord blesses you when you do something you really don't feel like doing. He really blesses us, even if we're dragging ourselves out to knock on doors. He really blesses us, even if we're dragging ourselves off to do ministry in some capacity or to serve someone. Because nothing we ever do for God is wasted." And another skill that is on the list there is be helpful. Now, I really wanted to explain this point because I think I could have just written help, right? All of us can help in some way. But I think the skill behind it is being helpful. It's having this attitude of helpfulness. Anyone can pick up rubbish. Anyone can take the garbage out, okay? And anyone can do the dishes. But when we do that with a greater purpose behind it, perhaps maybe the purpose is to connect with someone in the kitchen team. Or perhaps maybe it is connect with people as you go around to each table at fellowship lunch and pick up their rubbish. The greater impact is the connection. So yes, picking up the rubbish is helpful. But connecting with people as we do it is the attitude behind the helpfulness. Does that make sense? Did I explain that? I don't know that I did, but okay, moving on. So these are some very basic skills that anyone and everyone can apply. But I also think, secondly, there are some specialized and targeted skills that God gives us. God wants us to discover, develop, and deploy these skills. Simon Peter didn't know it at the time, but Jesus was teaching him the specific skill of servant leadership. He later became one of the most significant people in building the Christian church because Jesus had equipped him, armed him with servanthood and the Spirit, and deployed him to lead the other disciples as they spread the good news about Jesus, our Saviour. 1 Corinthians 7:7 says, "Each of us has a unique purpose for serving in God's kingdom. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." In other words, each member of the body of Christ receives gifts for ministry and is called by God to develop and deploy them for the benefit of all. So I just want to take a quick second here to celebrate the many people that are already serving in our church. If you are already serving on a team in our church, just call out the team that you're serving on. It's going to be a massive voices right now. Ready? Go. I think everyone could hear someone calling out a team, a ministry team. Am I right? Like you can hear that. There's this flow around the room of voices. I think there are so many people already involved in service. I kind of feel like it's pointless me standing here. You already know what it looks like to serve. I love that about our church, and I want to celebrate that about our church. I believe that the sign of a healthy, growing church is when people are serving each other. And we see that in our teams. We see that with all of our teams that come and participate here on a Sunday or a Saturday night service. But we see that throughout the week, every ministry team, almost every day, there are people serving in our church in some capacity. Let's celebrate that. I'm going to conclude saying that service in God's defense force doesn't mean we have to look like models posing as Marines. Doesn't mean that we have to know how to operate fancy futuristic weapons. It's not some covert secret operative. And even though sometimes we do find ourselves in uncharted waters and on foreign ground, this is even more reason to keep that connection to our fearless leader, Jesus. Just as each one of us is saved by God's grace, each of us is called to serve with God's grace. We become armed and dangerous when we start serving for the benefit of others. So are you ready? Are you ready to serve? I know that there is a team of people who are ready to serve right now. They're going to come and lead us in worship. Just as they come in this moment, just think for a second what it would be like to right now have Jesus kneeling at your feet. What is that like? He's offering you this opportunity. He wants to wash your feet. Just picture that for a second. I'm going to cue the ridiculously dramatic music. Now I'm going to offer you an opportunity for a real practical response. You know, this is the third time that we're referring to these red communication cards. I actually think these are genius because these cards are weapons. On this card, people write prayer requests. People write ways that our church can serve them. And today, I want to offer you that opportunity again right now. If you've put your card in the offering bag already or you don't have one, we have some more here at the front. We have pens here at the front. Right now, I want you to write down what God is leading you to do. Each one of us has the ability to serve Him. When we do, we glorify Him and we become armed and dangerous. I know that today God wants us to take ground. I know that today in this moment He is calling people to have those specific skill sets. And maybe those people don't know what that skill set is. If you don't know, we have people in our church that can help you discover and develop those skill sets. Just write that on your card. Put your name and your specific question, and we will come alongside you and help you with that. Maybe there's someone in your life that God is calling you to serve. Just one person that is on your heart, and you want to come and pray for that person, and you want to write them on a card this morning, then I invite you to do that too. I'm going to hand over to these guys who are skilled in leading us in worship. And there is a really skilled prayer team who are going to come and minister to us too as we come and we respond to the Spirit this morning. So I invite you to come. Thanks, team.